What causes a person to rebel against God? Do you have any of that rebellion in you? Stick around. Grab your Bible. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at the danger of rebellion out of the book of Hebrews chapter 3. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you're here with us. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn it to the passages of Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be reading some passages out of there in just a moment that deal with the dangers of rebellion. Now, just a minute ago, I asked you the question, what causes a person to rebel against God? Now, each of us may have had a different answer for that particular question, but then I ask you the question, do you have any rebellion in you? I think sometimes when we take a closer look at the passages and as we listen to the Holy Spirit in our own lives, we'll find that oftentimes we'll have some rebellion. You know, those times when God tells us something that we know specifically comes from His Word or His guidance or His leadership, and we just flat out don't want to do it. I know there have been times in my ministry that I have shared with somebody who's been going through a situation, and they've actually I've actually said, "Hey, look, this is what the Bible tells you that you should do." And they've actually said, "Well, you know what? I know what the Bible says. I just don't want to do it." Well, folks, that right there is prime a prime example of what rebellion is. It's going against what you know to do is right, because you know, as a Christian, the Lord leads us. He gives us that guidance. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But for right now, we want to look at the book of Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast and to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Verse 16, for who, having heard, rebelled indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Well, was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? See that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So we see they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Let's pray together this evening as we begin our Bible study. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you don't leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we're grateful that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we pray that as we come around your word this evening, that as we do so, we truly would be able to hear your voice. Help us to separate any of the things that might be distractions for us in hearing you today, that we might be drawn close to you. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit is present in our lives. We know that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So, Lord, we just ask and pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us today, that we might truly be drawn to you and that we might truly lift you up. So, Father, bless our time as only you can. And, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, today, as we look at our text, the writer of Hebrews is warning about the dangers of rebelling against God. Now, some of us have had some firsthand experience with what it's like when we rebel against God. There are times when God has been gracious and long-suffering. As a matter of fact, God is always gracious and always long-suffering. However, there is a time when we can push it so far. Some of us have had to have some attention getters because of our rebellion throughout our life or throughout the time that we have followed our Lord and Savior. So let me ask you this question this evening. Does God speak to you? Now, although you might think that's a very easy question, there have been times that over my time in ministry that I've asked that question and people have said, well, you know, I just don't seem to hear God speaking to me. I just don't seem to hear what it is that he is saying to me. Now, God speaks to us through different ways and through different platforms. And when you think about how he has spoken to you in your time of following him, now ask yourself the question, in what ways does he speak to us, and how is it that we hear his voice? That verse 7 tells us, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion. So notice what it says, if you hear his voice. How is it that you hear the voice of God? How is it that you communicate with him? I've always said this, although it's a simple concept, it is one that is very poignant to the point that we're trying to make. You know, people would sit back and say, well, how do we speak to God? We speak to God through prayer. Well, how does God speak to us? God can also speak to us through prayer. Part of our problem is that when we pray too often, we're doing too much talking and not enough listening. Let me give you a challenge today. As you finish with this Bible study, I want you to spend some time in prayer listening. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, hey, Lord, it's me. I thank you for being the God of my life. And Lord, I've been doing a whole lot of talking. I want to pause for a few moments to listen. Let me challenge you also that as you get into God's word, that you listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you in the process of going through his word. That is one of the greatest keys to Bible study, is not just doing it from an automatic or a superficial way. When you get into the word of God, first of all, pray and say, Lord, I'm getting ready to read this chapter for our Bible study for today. And I want you to speak to me. I want it to be personal to me. I want you to speak to my heart so that I might apply it to my life where I am in the midst of the circumstances and everything else that may be taking place and going on. Lord, today, I want to hear from you. So we know, you know, I asked you that question a moment ago. How does he speak to you? Well, one of the ways is through our prayers. Another way is through his word, through our Bible studies. Another way he speaks to us is through sermons, through wise and godly counsel of people that you may know. So there are many ways that God speaks to us. The question is, are we listening? There are times in life that you know, every one of us can point to a time in our life when you've sat back and you said, listen, I know you're hearing me, but are you listening? The reason you said that was because you knew they were hearing the words that were coming out of your mouth, but it didn't seem like it was sinking in. It didn't seem like there was going to be application of what you were saying in the life of that person who was supposedly a listener. So today I'm really asking you, one of the big questions is, are you doing a good job at listening to the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life through the means, modes, and methods that he uses, through prayer, through circumstances, through sermons, through godly counsel, through all these different ways? Are you listening to what it is that God is trying to say to you? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit confirming what he is telling you through God's word? Is he confirming that through that wise and godly counsel? Is he confirming it through those sermons and through those messages that you and I have an opportunity to hear at any time of the day we want to? Yeah, like I said, after our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, airs at its time, it will remain up there. People can go back and have. It's been interesting to see that even from the very beginning of the pandemic around March, April of 2020, there are still people who are going back and listening to different messages that have been posted on our media sites. So God's not limited in space and time. It can be any place or time. So let me ask you this question. What does it mean to harden your heart toward God. That verse 8, let me give 7 and 8 because they kind of run together. But verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In the days of the trial in the wilderness. Okay, think about that for a moment. What does it mean to harden your heart? Yeah, I think I gave you a great example of that when we started this message today, when I've shared with you that there have been times when I have sat down to counsel with somebody and said, you know what, I really don't know what you're going through. I really cannot feel what you're feeling inside as you go through this turmoil or this traumatic situation or whatever it may have been. But here's one thing that I can promise you. I can assure you that God gives you the answer right here. Let's you point it out. The Lord will say, here is how we are supposed to act or react. Let me give you a quick example. One of those examples would be when somebody has done another person wrong, and for some odd reason, Satan wants us to feel like we have the right to hold aught or to hold unforgiveness against that person. And they'll sit back and say to me, they'll say, well, you just don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how hurt I am. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Maybe I don't understand how you feel. And maybe I don't understand the hurt that you're going through. But the Lord says, if this is thus saith the Lord in His word, He tells us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. It doesn't give an exception list. It doesn't follow a chapter that says you're to forgive as you've been forgiven unless these events have taken place. No, it says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And a lot of times we don't like to hear those things. Those folks have sat back and said, well, you know what? I know what the Word of God says. I know that it says I should do that, but I'm just not going to do it. I just don't feel like it. That, my friend, right there is rebellion. Remember the question that I just asked you a moment ago. What does it mean to harden your heart toward God? You know, that's when you know what God's saying, but you just have that flippant, I don't care attitude, and you become hard-hearted. That is a reference that God used essentially against Israel back in the days. He called them a stubborn and stiff-necked people. But what they had done is they had hardened their hearts. You know, when you get to that point where you just got this I don't care attitude, and whatever it takes, I'm not going to do what God says because I just don't feel like it. Your heart begins to harden. And what happens is, over time, that process goes one of two ways. Your heart is either softened once again by exposure to the Lord and His Word and the Holy Spirit, or your heart will continue to grow even harder and harder and harder. There have probably been times in your life when you have seen a circumstance of this taking place with maybe somebody that you know, that a circumstance happened or took place in their life, and it changed every ounce of who they were. And, you know, you may have said, well, I tell you, that guy used to be the nicest, sweetest person ever, but now it's just a grumpy and you know, one of those people that just snaps at people all the time. And you can almost point back to the thing that caused that to happen. So listen, don't let that be you. Do not allow tough times or tough circumstances to harden your heart against what it is that God has to say to you and against what God wants you to do to be a part of His family, a part of His kingdom, to be His hands, His feet, His voice, whatever it may be. Do not allow that thing to harden your heart. So when we think about that, why is it that you think people do this? Why is it that you think people allow themselves to get in a position of a hardened heart? There's a really quick, simple answer to that. Really, it boils down to selfishness. It's all about what I want rather than what God wants. Because if we sit there and follow Him, what happens is we have this battle. It's like, well, this is what God tells me I should do, but I don't want to do it. So that's where the hard-heartedness and the rebellion starts to set in. It's like, well, I don't think God's being fair to me. I don't think that this should happen this way, or why is this taking place or going on? God, I don't deserve this. We've all probably been in those situations or circumstances to be able to say that. So that's part of the reason why people allow themselves to get in a position to allow their heart to become hardened in circumstances and situations that they're going through, or circumstances or situations that they're dealing with. So, yeah, I asked you a moment ago, is God speaking to you? Well, when God speaks to you, what is your usual response? Yeah, think about that for a moment. When God speaks to you and God gives you his command, when God gives you his word, when God tells you what he wants you to do, how do you respond to that? How you respond to that speaks a lot about where you are in your walk with him, how much you believe in him, the level of faith that you have. And I could go on with a bunch of spiritual terms, but the bottom line is, when God speaks to you, how do you respond to it? Do you respond with obedience? Do you respond to him with rebellion? Do you respond to him with disbelief? Or do you respond as many in the world do today? You'll say, well, I'm just going to look the other way, because if I'm looking the other way, maybe this thing over here isn't going to be true or isn't going to happen. Folks, you cannot outrun God. You can't go high enough. You can't go low enough. You can't get in the deepest crevices or canyons. You cannot hide from God. He is always right there, and he is not going to change his attitude or his mind about, A, his word that has been since before the beginning of time, and B, he's not going to give you a list of exceptions that's going to include what you're going through. God says, this is how it is. The question is, are you going to be obedient, or are you going to be rebellious when it comes to him speaking to you? And let me make you a promise. God is going to speak to you, plain and simple. Even if you sit back and say, well, I'm just not going to read his word, the Holy Spirit is still going to speak to your heart. If you say, well, I'm not going to listen to what he has to say, the circumstances and the godly people in your life are still going to be present. God is not going to let you get away with simply just turning your back on him in rebellion. You know, the word tells us those whom he loves, meaning the Father, he chastens. He's not going to let you get away with acts of rebellion against him. Okay? So another question. The writer refers to the rebellion. Now, in these particular passages, he is referring to a particular rebellion. Let's look at verses 8 and 9, and let's see if we can come up with that rebellion. Verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. There's a hint, a trial in the wilderness. So what do you think, which rebellion do you think that he's talking about? Well, let me give you the answer to that question. Some of you have already gotten it, but you don't have to turn there, but just jot this down in your margin. You can circle rebellion and then put Exodus 17 verses 1 through 3. Exodus 17 verses 1 through 3 tells us this. It says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended. Now, what that means is they quarreled. Therefore, the people contended or quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend or quarrel with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with that thirst? Do you see what was taking place there? This was the time when Israel was exiting Egypt and headed to the Promised Land. There's also another circumstance and situation that we'll discuss here in a few moments. But just to give you a little tidbit, if you will remember, it was disobedience that caused Israel to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It was their disobedience when they got to Kadesh Barnea and they saw the Promised Land. If you remember the story, that was when they sent the 12 spies into the land. And as they came back, they said, man, it's everything God said it was. In fact, we brought this set of big old grapes between two poles so you could see how wonderful this place really, really is. And out of the 12 spies, 10 of them said, we can't do this because there are giants in the land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, we're well able to do it. But see, Joshua and Caleb remembered the fact of who they were. They were God's children. God was the one who said, I am the one who will give you this land. I am the one who has promised it to you. Now, let me interject a point right here. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you this land. God didn't say that it was going to that it would go without having its battles. Could God have made the giants of Anak just fall down at their feet dead or submissive? Yes, he could have. But you know what? God wants to know whether or not we're going to trust him enough that as we go into the battles, that we're going to trust him for deliverance. Okay, Joshua and Caleb in this particular scenario understood that. They got it. They said, we're well able to take this land because God is the one who's going to fight for us. But yet the overwhelming majority, 10 of the 12, said, we can't do it. we're going to get, we're just going to get killed. Now, another passage is, folks, we got this thing about complaining. We don't like where we are. When we don't like where we are, we will complain. And that's what that passage in Exodus chapter 17 is talking about. As they were out in the wilderness, they didn't have any water, you know, and so what they did was they went to Moses and started complaining to him. And as a matter of fact, did you catch that part in verse 3? The latter part of verse 3, they actually said, why is it, and they're talking to Moses, why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? In other words, we're all going to just die of dehydration out here. So they just started to complain. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a complainer? If we're honest about that question, most of us would have to say, well, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, I do complain quite a bit in circumstances and in situations. Well, is your complaint leading to rebellion? Is your complaint leading you to the point that where you're sitting back going, well, I'm just not going to do it. I don't care what God says. I don't care what takes place. Are you rebelling against him? There was a particular act of rebellion that Israel went through, and it was completely senseless. When you think about it, you know, if you're going to trust God, trust God. He is going to deliver you. He has proven that over and over throughout his word through Israel, but he's also proven that in your life and in my life in everyday circumstances and situations. Look at how God is so good in your life and how he has made provision for you, okay? You know, what kind of response do you think rebellion provokes from God? I mean, do you think that God loves it when his children rebel? Let's go down to verse 10 there for just a minute. Yeah, God says, you know, to the people there in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, he says, therefore, I was angry with that generation that rebelled against Moses. Remember, he's talking about a particular rebellion in these passages. He says, therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You see what he's saying there? He got angry. He got angry with he said, that whole generation. He said, man, they've made me mad. You know, I've shown them over and over again how I will provide for them. And yet they still rebel. They still gripe and complain. And I've had it with them. Okay. Think about this for a moment. There was a spiritual blessing that Israel forewent because of their rebellion. They forfeited something. What was it that they forfeited? Now, again, if you know the story of what took place when Israel exited Egypt, they got to Kadesh Barnea, they rebelled against God, and for 40 years, they had to roam in the wilderness. In fact, he said that all of those that were old enough to know better would actually drop dead in the wilderness. So there were people who the cost of their rebellion cost them never, ever being able to actually enjoy the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And it wasn't until that number had passed on in the wilderness before a new leader was elected. And by the way, Moses wasn't even allowed to go into the promised land. He was allowed to see it, but he wasn't allowed to enter it. They had a new leader when they crossed the Jordan into the promised land after that 40 years in the wilderness. And that was Caleb. Caleb was promoted. Oh, remember that name? He was one of the two 40 years previously at Kadesh Barnea that said, we are well able to do this. Oh, by the way, that was Joshua. I'm sorry. But Joshua and Caleb were the two that said, you know, we are well able to do this. Joshua led them into the promised land. He had been faithful. He had been obedient all the way through that circumstance. So he didn't have to forfeit the blessing that God had in store for them in actually not only entering into the promised land, but being able to enjoy it. Okay, so what is the relationship between rebellion and evil and an unbelieving heart? Yeah, think about that for a moment. Rebellion, evil, and an unbelieving heart. Well, verse 12 gives us that answer. Verse 12 tells us this. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He goes on, he says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now, did you get that first part there in verse 12? "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Is your heart classified or considered to be evil in the thought process of what it is that you are rebelling against God with? You know, a heart of unbelief will always lead someone to do something. And you know what that is? It will always lead somebody to rebel against God. You know, it is important for us not only to walk in the ways of the Lord, to not rebel against Him, but it is important for us to exhort one another daily. We just read that passage in the book of Hebrews. But we need to do that. We need to encourage one another. We need to be exhorters, and we need to do this daily so that we will not have an unbelieving heart and not have a hardened heart by the deceitfulness of sin that is pointed out in the Word of God. You know, when you surround yourself with godly people and we exhort one another and we uplift one another and we encourage one another. I mean, how many times has it been where you've been going through a tough situation and maybe you've shown up to church and somebody says, "Hey, look, man, I know you're going through this tough time. I've been praying for you. You hang in there. I'm going to be with you through each and every circumstance. We're going to walk with you through each and every situation." That should be something that undergirds and uplifts us so that we don't have that heart of rebellion, so that we are not deceived by Satan when it comes down to the things that are going on in our lives. So not only should we be able, it says exhort one another. That means that not only are we a receiver or should be a receiver of exhortation, it means that we should also be an encouragement to other people. So let me ask this question. How do you encourage others in the ways of the Lord? Think about that for a moment. You know, sometimes people will sit back and say, "Well, that's a preacher's job," or "That's somebody else's job." No, listen, how are you encouraging somebody in the will and the ways of the Lord on a daily basis, not just once a week? God didn't just call us to be a Christian on Sunday. He called us to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter where we go. Okay? Now, as we've done our Bible studies, I've always asked you to look for some commands to obey as you go through your Bible study. Yeah. Now, as a command to obey, what does it mean to hold our original confidence in God firm to the end? Now, as you think about that, let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 tells us this. It says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Okay? Now, think about that for a moment. What does that mean? What is that confidence that we're talking about? That it says in the that we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. Well, think about it this way. Remember what it was that caused you to trust the Lord. Remember the things that made you say, "You know what, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I know that Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm going to run to Him." There's probably a time in your life when you held on a little tighter to God, when you walked a little closer with Him. So what about those days? Yeah, I love what the book of Revelation 3 says when he was talking about the church at Ephesus. And he said the church at Ephesus, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love." Well, then he goes on and he gives the formula for getting out of that, the formula for reconciling that situation. He says, go back and do the first things. Remember what things were like. Remember how your walk and your relationship was when you were walking and talking and listening and you were the closest to God in your life. Run back to Him. Grab hold of His feet. Grab Him. I like it to say it like this. I saw a video this past week where it was one of these little baby monkeys. And that baby monkey was holding on to that mama. And that mama was jumping from tree to tree and running across the ground. And that baby had a death grip on that mama and didn't move a single bit. That's the kind of grip we need to have on the Lord. Our original confidence in God. Do you have that sort of death grip on Him today? That's a command for us to obey. I like what it says. It says, today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, what should you do? Think about it. Verse 15 says this. Verse 15 says, while it is said today, if you hear His voice, here's what He says to do. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In other words, don't allow the other voices, the voices of the world. Do not allow the voice of Satan. Do not allow the voice of circumstance to cause you to harden your heart that you might become rebellious against God. Today, if you hear His voice. I like that if, because you know what? There's sometimes people say, well, I'm just not hearing His voice. Well, folks, listen, if you're not hearing His voice, you're not listening for it. You need to start looking for God in the midst of your circumstances and situations, because I will make you this promise. He is there in the middle of them. You just got to find Him. Okay? So what does it mean to enter into God's rest? And why is that something that you and I should desire? Verses 16 through 19 give us the answer to that. It says, for who having heard rebelled? That's a question. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but those who did not obey? Yeah, so we see they could not enter because of their unbelief. Now, that goes back to the situation of Israel and they're leaving Egypt and their rebellion and the fact that they wandered in the wilderness. And he said, who having not heard rebelled? It was those who came out of Egypt led by Moses. Now, that verse 17 tells us with whom was he angry for those 40 years? Yeah, was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? It wasn't the other people. It was the ones who were disobedient. It was the ones whose unbelief caused them to stumble in their walk. And verse 18 says, and whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but those whom did not obey? All those who obeyed have the opportunity to enter into his rest, to have the peace in their heart. Peace is a big, big deal today. It always has been. If you don't have peace in your heart, you are just tormented day and night. Remember what I said, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He is not going to let up on you until you surrender and give in to his will. I can promise you that, okay? That's the only way that you're going to be able to enter into the rest of God. And folks, let me tell you, there's no place like being in the center of God's will. We've always had this statement around here at Central that says this, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those that are in his will and those who wish they were. Which spectrum do you fall on? One of those that's in his will or one of those that wishes they were? Well, if you wish you were, you can fix that right now by simply going to him and surrendering to him, and you will actually sense the peace that passes all understanding that only comes from God, okay? You know, what happens when we hear from God, but we rebel and we disobey with an unbelieving heart? Think about it. We know, we could probably speak to that really, really good, because you know what? God says, hey, look, that's not what I've called you to do. That's not what I'm asking you to do. You're not listening to what I'm saying. You might be hearing me, but you're not listening. We need to make application to our lives of the things that God is teaching us and showing us in and through His Word, in and through prayer, in and through godly people, in and through sermons that you hear. It needs to be applicable to your life. You see, that's when head knowledge all of a sudden becomes heart knowledge. I've said, let it trickle down from your head into your heart, because until it hits your heart, it won't change you. Okay? So I want you to think about a time when you heard God's voice and did not obey. How did that work out for you? Some of you are sitting there going, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I know what God was telling me to do. I didn't obey. Here are here's the list of erosion that happened along the way with that circumstance and situation. Now I want you to think about a time when you heard the voice of God and you did obey. What was the difference between those two? You know, did you have the peace in your life after you obeyed Him, after you did what He said? Did you find the blessings that God had in store for you? Did you find great victory in following our Savior? I would be willing to bet that you did. Now, that didn't mean that there wasn't some painful times. Because listen, the Lord has us walk through some times of suffering here on earth to bring about His will as well. But even in the midst of suffering, He will still give you that peace that truly passes all understanding. So are you obeying God or are you not? You know, as you think about those two different scenarios, the time that you disobeyed Him and then the time that you obeyed Him, what were things that you learned from each of those occasions? Yeah, again, that's personal to you. It's not anything that we would state out in public, but they're personal things. What were the things you learned when it came down to those situations of either obeying or disobeying? And most of us can think of both sides of that, the time I did obey, the time that I did not. And you know the difference between those. Okay, you know what we need to do? We need to pray for one another today that we will hear God's voice and obey promptly. And that means immediately. There was, I think, three different times in the passage that we looked at today where it said, today, if you will hear my voice. Today, if you will listen. Right now is the time. Would you do that? We're going to pray for just that in just a moment. But let me go ahead and give you this week's Bible readings. This week, we're going to be looking at passages that will come from Hebrews 7 through Hebrews 11. Now, once again, that is Hebrews chapter 7 through Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, one chapter a day. Don't read ahead. Don't try to cram it all into one. You have a 7-day week, and I'm asking you to read 5 chapters. So that gives you a little bit of fluff in there as well. But Hebrews 7 through Hebrews 11. And next week, we're going to look at the new and living way out of passages from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. So as you read those passages this week, spend a little extra time in study there. And we will definitely look forward to gathering together again next week as we look at the new and living way. Just a couple of quick things for you before we pray. Our kids in the Oak Ridge or Greensboro area, on December the 12th, that's on Sunday, from 9:30 a.m. to 12 o'clock noon, we're going to be having breakfast with Santa. We would love to have you come and be a part of this. There will be games. You'll get a chance to actually talk with Santa, get your picture made with him, and we'll get that either text or emailed to you, as well as listening to Santa tell us all about the meaning of Christmas and the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. There is a registration for that. You can go to our website. You'll see our website here on the screen, but that is www.oakridgecbc.org. Once again, that is www.oakridgecbc.org, and you'll see the little scroll bar as it goes across. You'll see a tab that says Breakfast with Santa. Click on that. You can register. That way Santa will make sure he knows all the names of the young people, and we'll know how many people to plan breakfast for. Okay, on December the 12th, also on December the 12th, we will be having our regular church conference that evening following the evening Bible study. We've moved that back a week. Normally we have that on the 19th, but there's a reason we've moved that. So church conference will be December the 12th following the evening Bible study. And then on December the 19th, we will have an evening of Christmas music starting at 6 o'clock p.m. with refreshments to follow. So that's the reason why we backed up our conference a week, because we're going to have the evening of Christmas music with refreshments. So we're going to back our conference up 1 week to December the 12th. We'd love to have you join us if you live in the Oak Ridge, Greensboro, Kernersville, area and you do not have a church home, we invite you to be with us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our Sunday services start at 10:45. We do have Sunday school classes that start at 9:30. We'd love to have you come and be a part of the family of God called Central Baptist Church. So at any rate, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're going to ask today that he would help you to truly be obedient to him. Let's pray for one another. Father, as we come to you today, we just simply ask that today, as we pause, that we will hear your voice and that we will obey immediately. Father, help us not to be caught up in the ways of the world, to be tangled up in such a fashion that we miss what it is that you have in store for each and every one of us. May we truly be obedient to follow you and enter into the peace that can only be known of those who know you and are in the center of your will. Lord, give us a great week. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement and an uplifter to those around us. That was also a part of the passage that we learned today. Lord, help us not just to be receivers of that encouragement, but givers as well. May we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them that they might truly have strength for the journey. Lord, give us a great week as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.